This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Create Your Dream Business Now Academy, a one-of-a-kind live event where Jim will personally teach you how to market and grow a more profitable business faster, even in a crappy economy. During this event, Jim will reveal how to create a million-dollar platform on a shoestring budget. You'll learn how to generate a ton of content with ease, how to attract a steady stream of new customers, and you'll also network with other successful marketers and entrepreneurs. This not-to-be-missed event is May the 7th through the 9th in San Diego and will quite literally transform your business. Do not miss it. Get all the details and register today at www.dreambizacademy.com. That's www.dreambizacademy.com.
This is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are always great things in any business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I am just beyond excited because my show this week has none other than America's productivity coach, my awesome friend, Michelle Prince. Let me tell you a little bit about Michelle. She is the author of the best-selling book, Winning in Life Now. She's gone on to author dozens of additional books and products in the areas of achievement, motivation, productivity, and success. She owns her own publishing company, is the founder of Book Writing Blueprint and the Book Bound Workshop, which we're going to be talking about a lot on this call. And that helps soon-to-be authors get their story out of their head and onto paper and into the hands of prospective clients, which is an awesome thing. Michelle knows we all have a story, and she's just so passionate about helping others tell their stories so they can impact the lives of others. She began her sales career working with the awesome, great, the late, great Zig Ziglar right out of college. And with her solid foundation in personal growth, productivity, and leadership, Michelle was able to achieve extraordinary results and numerous awards, making her an in-demand sales and marketing professional. She decided to take that knowledge and start her own company to fulfill her passion of motivating, inspiring, and encouraging others to live phenomenal lives. She does this through her speaking. She's an amazing speaker. I've heard her on a number of occasions. She's a coach. She trains a lot of people. Her life came full circle when she was asked to become a Ziglar motivational speaker representing the values and the company that ignited her passion and kickstarted her career way, way back. Well, no, not so far back. In her 20s, Michelle most recently became a Ziglar legacy trainer and is even more committed to carry on the legacy of the late Zig Ziglar. As America's productivity coach, Michelle has learned the secret to overcoming procrastination and living a happier, more abundant life. She's on a mission now to show audiences worldwide that they too can stop juggling, overcome procrastination, and get more done in less time in business, leadership, and life. And on a personal note, Michelle is just such a great friend of mine. We connected, what, 2-3 years ago. She's somebody I greatly, greatly admire. Michelle, I don't want to keep introducing you. I want to start talking to you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thank you so much. It's always so great to talk to you.
And I'm sorry for the faux pas. Being in your 20s really wasn't that long ago.
Why I love you, Jim. This is why we're such good friends, right?
I got your back.
Keep talking.
Okay. So here's the deal. One of the reasons, and I've interviewed you probably, you're one of my most frequent guests over the 3 or 4 years I've been doing this. And before that, for my newsletter guru audience, you know, we talk a lot because you're, again, known as America's productivity coach. But one of the really great things that you do to help entrepreneurs is get the story out of their head, because every entrepreneur that you and I talk says, oh, I've got a book in me. You know, I started writing my book, but I can't get it done. I just, you know, writing a book is so important, and there's so many reasons to do it, which we're going to talk about. But for some reason, a lot of people can't seem to get it done. So you got this great program called Bookbound, where you bring audiences all over the country and teach them how to do it. So for the sake of everybody listening, I reached out to Michelle about 60 days ago, where we are ramping up for our next Dream Business Academy, which is going to be May 7th, 8th, and 9th in San Diego, California. And Michelle has graciously agreed to come out and be my guest speaker. I always do a Thursday bonus evening session. It's kind of a big session where we focus on one topic, and she's going to lead this whole thing about how to help you get your book done. So I'm running out of breath. Michelle, you better be able to take over the interview here. Let me lob you a big slow one over the plate. Tell us why entrepreneurs need to write a book.
Well, it's so important to write a book because for a couple different reasons. Number one, entrepreneurs already have a story, and they're already telling their story. They're talking to their clients. They're advertising it on their website, social media. So because we know people do business with those they know, like, and trust, like our friend Bob Berg says, it's so important that you allow your clients to get to know you, like, and trust you in an easy way. And when you take all that information that you could easily share with a client one-on-one, but you put it in a book format, now you're able to reach more people, you're able to help more people, and you're able to elevate your status as a business owner. Because, Jim, as you and I both know, I mean, once you write a book, you are on a different platform from your competitors. Published author status is immediate credibility. And it's, in my opinion, one of the easiest ways to market yourself and differentiate yourself. So, but it's one of those things, too, that a lot of people overlook it because they think it's this huge mountain to climb. And the reality is they're already telling and sharing all that information they would put into a book. Just put it in a book, and you'll see the rewards.
It really is. You know, it's one of those things that when I started transitioning from my first, quote-unquote, brick-and-mortar style business into the whole online thing I've been doing now since 2006, you know, started going to different conferences, learning about, and believe me, I've never even thought of authoring a book. I can barely string two sentences together. What am I going to be doing writing a book? And everybody said you should write a book, and so it took me 18 months to get my first book done. I can crank them out in about 6 months, although I'm starting my sixth book now, and I'm bound and determined to have it out before March. So I'm trying to ramp it up even more. But everything, when people tell you, Michelle, you go to enough conferences, read enough, oh, you should do this, you should do that, and eventually it sinks in, and then you go, wow, it really does work. It is that way with a book, right? When I wrote my first book, The Magic of Newsletter Marketing, when I was really focused on, you know, pretty much 100% the newsletter business, and when I would get a prospective client, and I, you know, kind of learning from some gurus like Dan Kennedy and others, said, don't answer your phone and go there that afternoon. Oh, sure, I'll be right over. You know, you schedule it for like a week out, and in between you mail them this package. And I started doing that. So when I had a client call me, even though back then, you know, you're in cash flow mode, you want to just go grab a sale if you can make it. Oh, well, I'm kind of tied up this week. How's next Wednesday look for you, right? And in the meantime, I'd send him a package with some information, some of my sample designs, and then there, lo and behold, on top is a book that I authored. And the first time I went into somebody's office, Michelle, it was sitting there. The guy stood out and shook my hand. He goes, I had no idea you were a published author. That is so cool, Jim. And I'm like maintaining my composure, but I'm doing backflips inside my head, right? And it was, and we never had to lower price from that point on.
Well, and it's funny the way you say that is perfect too, because that person hasn't even read your book yet, and they already look at you differently. They already have this instant respect for you. You stand out as the expert, the go-to authority, not so much because of what you wrote about, but because you actually wrote a book. And so I say to people sometimes, it's not always deserved credibility, but it is perceived credibility. And the key to really knowing how to do this right is to know how to leverage it, because it's not about writing a book. It's not about the book itself. It's about you being an author. and how you can leverage that and to really use it. Like, that's brilliant. You know, I don't remember Dan ever saying that. So that is something that I love, that you set it out a week out and then you send the book in between. That's leverage. And you could have a book, you could have the best intentions to build your business, to help people, but unless you know how to leverage it using a lot of the tools that you teach, Jim, and then it's, you know, but put those all together and it's so powerful.
Yeah. So what are some of the other ways? Well, so many questions about a book. So do you have any other reasons you want to share about why you should write a book other than positioning and things like that, and before we move on to the mechanics of it?
I do, because, you know, for many of us, we got into business to make a difference. We want to help people. And, yes, the credibility, the expertise, the celebrity status, if you will, by being a published author will help your business. But at the end of the day, there is something that you are passionate about. There's something that you've experienced. There's a group of people out there that can benefit from something that you've gone through. And that could be good or bad. So, you know, when you take the time to share your story and get it out there, it's amazing. This is something that I learned and was shocked by when I first wrote my book, my first book. You know, I wrote a book not to build a business. In fact, it was the total opposite. It just happened because I wrote a book. But as soon as I did and other people read it, I was shocked by how something so minor that we go through, or something that we take for granted that somebody else can benefit from. It's really amazing, and what that does for your own internal confidence, your belief in yourself, but not to mention all the people you're helping. You know, there's so many benefits. I mean, I could go on and on and on all day, but it's more than just for your business. There's a personal side of it too, and we all have a story, and I believe every story matters.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things when everybody has a story, right? And there's a certain strategy. That's a strategy. Maybe it's more of a life philosophy. But you can feed your checkbook, but you can also feed your heart. And one of the ways you feed your heart is by helping other people. And I got to tell you, when it happened most for me, when I wrote "It's Okay to Be Scared, But Never Give Up," I had people writing me saying, "This has touched me in a big way," and different things like that. And it was nice to get some comments from the other books from, "Hey, great strategy, I'm putting it to use, it works." That all feels good. But when some of the emails we got from "It's Okay to Be Scared" about almost life-saving stuff, like, it was unbelievable. And I think, so if you have a story, even if you think it's not relevant, it probably is to somebody. And getting off track, it's almost like a side benefit. It feels so good when you can help other people, and I think that's a good strategy anyway. But Michelle, one of the things I realized is when I started writing another book, and then it just kept going from there, the benefit keeps growing. You know, I actually have people that like, "Oh my gosh, you wrote 5 books, and it's impressive." Mm-hmm. And so if you're a coach or you're trying to grow your business based on personality and things like that, you know, don't stop with just one, right? So I know you write many books.
Oh, definitely. And what's funny is once you do write one book, you realize you have a lot more to say. So most first-time authors become multi-author or multi-book authors because they realize you can't only fit so much in one book. But to your point, though, yes, especially for us business owners, when you've written one book, that's fantastic. And published author status will totally change the way people perceive you. But when you're an author of multiple books, you become a greater asset or a greater expert, I should say. One book, you're an expert on that one topic. Multiple books, now you have a whole library of things that you can consult on, that you can coach on, that you can do seminars on, that you can teach on. But what it does for your client, your customers, it just shows them, you know, the fact that you are the right person, you are the go-to person, and it's all in you already. This is the thing where, you know, when I do my workshops or when I work with folks, we help do an exercise to get that story out of their head. And everyone's shocked that they even have one story. And truthfully, we have so many things already in our head. We don't have to do any research. All we have to do is just get it out of our head and on the paper, you know, and we can be published. But it's just figuring out what's the best first story, the first book, and then from there, rolling it out. And sometimes it's based on passion and what you feel most led to talk about or write about. Other times it's strategic. You know, what is it you're really trying to grow in your business? If what kind of people are you trying to attract? If you're trying to attract a certain type of people, write a certain type of book to attract them. So there's different strategies to go about it, but once you write one, you will write more.
And yeah, absolutely.
It does grow with opportunities. And one more thing I'll add to that, and I this is such an important point I always try to tell people, is it's not about the book, right? Yes, will you make income selling books? Of course you will, because you produce a book, you know, at cost, and you sell it at retail, and you keep everything in between as a self-published author. But the benefit and the money doesn't come from the book sales alone, because if you think about how much do you want to make in a year, you know, 100,000, 50,000, a million, whatever that number is, divide it by a $20 book, and that's a lot of books to sell. So the opportunities, the way your business increases and the way you really benefit by being an author, it's not through the book sales, it's through the opportunities that are attracted to you. Because as that published author, people, like we've said already, they look at you different. They perceive you as the, you know, the expert. And we all want to do business with the expert. We want to work with the best. And those are the opportunities that will be attracted by having a book.
So funny, I was sitting, we were just chatting before we went on the air. I was recently on vacation down in Mexico, and I was talking with an entrepreneur down there, and we got talking about books and stuff like that. And he goes, so do you mind if I ask, you know, do you make a lot of money in the books? I said, well, it depends how you look at it. Do I make a lot of money selling books? No, not a great deal. Could I pay for a wedding? Probably not. But I know for a fact that being an author is one of the great ways that leads people into my coaching program, where then, yes, you know what I mean? So it's a foray into doing more business with your core product. I mean, the only way to really make a ton of money actually selling books is if you're a best-selling author, you know, like a John Grisham or somebody like that, right, who's got, you know, mm-hmm. huge, like tens of thousands of book sales going.
True. But one thing, though, that most people don't know is of those books, of the, you know, $10, $15, $20 book, you know, he probably makes very, very little. So, yes, I mean, obviously you have to sell a lot of books, but there's truly so much more. And that's why I try to tell people, don't write a book just to make money, you know, because people have this illusion that you'll sell a million books on Amazon the day that you launch it. And while I hope that's true, and it is possible for some people, unless you have that huge platform of celebrity or of politics or of something that you know, already have a huge, huge following, it's very difficult to do it that way. And so why not leverage what may seem to be a negative, but it's really a positive. You now, as a self-published author, have the ability to leverage it, get the book sales, but also get so much more: speaking engagements, consulting, you know, do seminars around the topic. You know, the opportunities are endless.
Yep. So, Michelle, one of the things I've asked you to do is prepare, you know, a nice 90-minute presentation about – so basically when people come to Dream Biz Academy, I want to give them all the tools they need to, like, get going, right? It's mm-hmm. knowledge is good, but getting going is a lot better. So I know one of the questions a lot of people have is I'm not – like I have this about myself. You know, am I a good enough writer? Do I need to know how to write a book? And, you know, what do you say to those people who might doubt that they have what it takes to actually write a book?
Well, first I would say go ask my high school and college professor what they would think of me writing books and helping people write books, and they would laugh exactly like you're doing, because I was not a good writer. And I had that same thought process that, well, you know, people that are authors have to be these extraordinary writers. No, people that are authors have extraordinary stories. They have valuable content. Editors make that valuable content sound good. So don't get caught up in that. It's why you hire all these amazing resources to help you to bring it to fruition. You know, you don't have to be a great graphic designer to be an author. No, you hire someone to do those, you know, the cover design. Well, you hire an editor to help make sure your words flow, to make sure that they sound right, to make sure you use the right, you know, the language and different formats. So don't let that stop you. The bigger thing is having the belief that you have a story, that you have something to tell people that matters and that will help them in some way. And the reason I say you have to really believe in it is so many times we downplay what comes natural to us. You know, for years, I've always been very goal-oriented. I've been very into personal development. I mean, working for Zig definitely helped with that. But truly, I just kind of assumed everyone thought the way I thought when it came to that stuff. I really didn't realize that so few people, I mean, you and I in our inner circles, we think this way, but a lot of folks weren't exposed to personal development, all that. So at first I thought, you know, why would I write a book about this? Everybody knows how to set goals. Everyone knows how to overcome procrastination. Everyone knows how to do these things. But the reality is they don't. There is something that you and the listeners are so good at that they take for granted. Maybe they're great at teaching. Maybe they're great at organizing, or they're great at marketing techniques or whatever it is. You take it for granted that everyone should know it, but they don't. And so that's the first thing, is figuring out, well, what is it that you can share with others and believe that you'll get they'll get value out of it? And then the rest is kind of just taking them through a process. You know, I use this analogy that writing a book is a lot like baking cookies. And it's true. Because in order to bake cookies, what do you have to do? You have to have a recipe, you have to know what the ingredients are, and you have to put the ingredients in the right order in order to get a great batch of cookies. Well, the exact same is true with writing a book. First and foremost, you have to figure out, what are you going to write about? What kind of cookie are you going to bake? And then it's, okay, now take it through the recipe. And it is just that, as you know, you've been through it.
Absolutely. You know, when I wrote my first book, The Magic of Newsletter Marketing, I thought it was a masterpiece. I mean, like I said, I took 18 months. I took people from A to Z, you know, from soup to nuts, however. And then I decided, you know what, I know how to – it's kind of like me doing the work I do with Good Works. I can tear things apart and I can put up like rough lumber, but I'm not a finished carpenter type guy. And I thought, you know what, I think I've got the basics of a real good book, but I'm going to hire somebody – to proofread it for spelling and grammar. And when I wrote that first book, I didn't have a lot of extra cash, so I thought, I'm even stretching it by, you know, that was going to cost me like $1,200 or something. And the person that I hired said, Jim, I'm happy to do this. I'll read your entire book. I'll for spelling, grammar, and all this and that. But, you know, I did read it, and I want to suggest to you that you should let me kind of rework the book. And I'm not trying to sell you on services. She was really kind of defensive. And I said, well, what do you think? She goes, it's completely out of order, if you don't mind my saying. And I learned so much from her, Michelle, about, you know, people barely get through the first third of any book they buy. You got to put the good stuff up front. There's so many things that I learned from her that she's helped me literally with all my other books. But it was a great lesson in, you know, how just not to write, you know, okay, I was born in 1958, and just start from there, right? You've got to draw. Right. People are going to, oh, go, this is a yawner. I'm not going to read this. Like, you've got to give a hook right up front. So let's talk about the – don't you agree with that, right?
Oh, I do, because we all think that because we write a book that everyone cares. And the truth is, nobody cares about your book the way you do. People only care how it's going to help them, you know, that whole what's in it for me. So unless you can get that part out fast, they're not going to be interested in learning the rest of your story. They, you know, we're just wired that way.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. So if people say, okay, you got me going, Jim and Michelle, I definitely want to write this book. One of the things I've asked you to do when you come to the Dream Biz Academy is again, help people get it done. So what would be, can you share maybe one or two of the strategies on actually mechanically, or however you describe it, how do people actually get their book done? What's a couple strategies you teach?
Absolutely. I get so excited about this, and I cannot wait for Dream Biz, because this is truly when people realize they're authors, and when they come in and they think, I don't have a story to write, I have nothing to say, and they leave there with an entire book completely done, it's so exciting. So I'll give you kind of a taste of how we do that. First thing, though, this is a strategy. You have to figure out what is going to be the book. What's the book about? What's the title? The written part, but what's the subject? What is it that you are going to write about? That's first and foremost. And truthfully, this is where a lot of people struggle. Many people, and I'm sure many of the listeners, know they should write a book. If they don't by now, hopefully by the end of this interview, they will know. But they may know what they should. They may even know what they're going to write about, but they get stuck on, you know, how do I take all of these ideas and thoughts and how do I organize them? Well, there is a way to do that. And the first thing is figuring out the topic. And I'll give you a real quick, easy way for everybody to get a jump start before Dream Biz Academy. And that way they have this in mind when they come. And that is figuring out, think of and list all of the things that you are passionate about. And for you, Jimmy, you know, you've already done this with your books, but you kind of just go with me on this exercise. But, you know, anything that you can think of that has nothing to do with work, it has nothing to do with a book yet, it's just stuff you enjoy doing. And, you know, for me, I'm passionate about the beach. I am very passionate about personal development and seminars and like-minded people. I'm passionate about babies and dogs. I have a pug, a dog, and that's I'm passionate about anything pug. But you get the idea. What are you passionate about? What lights you up when you're either reading about it, doing something in it? And I always tell people, make a list of as many things as you can think of, because I promise this will help. This will really help with the rest.
Okay.
Once you have that list done, now clear your mind of everything you enjoy, passions and all that, and now just focus on where do you have experience? Not necessarily something you loved, but what have you had experience with? Have you had experience in sales, management, being a mother? You know, maybe going through things that were not positive, such as divorce. Maybe there's been some abuse, bankruptcy. Even though you didn't enjoy it, it doesn't mean you didn't experience it. So in order to really get to the heart of what's going to be the best first book for you, you have to list all of the things that you have experienced in your life, good, bad, ugly, you name it. And then once you have a full list, and again, as many as you can possibly think of, now you have two lists side by side, and it's what you're passionate about and where you're experienced. Now the key is figuring out an intersection between the two. Where can you draw a line that there's some connection? And I'll give you an example. So for me, I'm passionate already, I said, about, you know, personal development. I love, you know, learning and reading and all those things. That's my passion. On the experience side, though, you know, I had low self-esteem when I was younger, and so I used personal development a lot through my life. I did affirmations. I learned all that from Zig Ziglar early on. But, you know, I also had the experience of working for Zig Ziglar. So those two things together, that's a natural connection. That is a perfect intersection between passion and experience. And it does happen to be my first book, Winning in Life Now, which is a book about how I went through the ups and downs of my life using personal development to kind of bring me out of it. And the reason it's so important to have both the passion and the experience, if you do one without the other, it's not going to work. If you write a book about something that you are, you know, passionate about, but you have no experience, then there's no depth. There's nothing to really, you know, who are you to write a book on that, right? Like, say, for example, you're passionate about kids, but yet you've never had any, not the best book to write about. So the opposite is also true. Let's say you have experience but no passion. You know, for years and years and years, I was in sales. I was in corporate and software sales, and I was, you know, I hate to say, but I was really good at it. And it was something that it came natural to me. I could do it. And for a long time, I thought about writing a book for cold calling and sales 101, that type of thing. And every time I thought about doing it, though, I just was, oh, you know, like the drudgery of having to do it because I had no passion. That's not the right book for you because it's a book you're going to start and it's one you won't finish. So I'm making this your short question very long. I'm sorry, Jim, but
It's a good story.
But to net it out, it's got to be that intersection between the passion and experience. It's a book that you want to write and others want to read. And I always give this advice too. Be very, very careful what you choose to write about because you will be talking about it for a very, very, very long time. So be sure it's something that you're passionate about.
Well, yeah, not only will we be talking about it, because if you're doing interviews and things like that, you are going to be talking about it. And promotion is a big part of the book, right? I mean, it's one of the things you need to do to sell it and get your word out, get your information out there. So,
yeah,
that's really good. So it's about, you have to be passionate. So it's not just about what you know, it's what you're passionate about and what other people, you know, are going to resonate with. You know, we're at the time is flying by. I got about 10 minutes to go here. Is there a formula for actually writing the book? You know, do you start at the beginning and just go through? Do you, you know, what's the mechanics? How does that work?
So once you have that figured out what you're going to write about, then it's a matter of doing an outline. You really have to figure out, well, what exactly do I have to say? And one of the things that I do is in order to get that brain dump, if you will, is writing down everything you can possibly think of within the area of the top topics. And here's what I mean. Don't sit down and think, okay, here's chapter one. I want chapter one to be this and start writing it. Sit down and think about, okay, if my book is about my last book, Busy Being Busy, is about procrastination, what you would do is sit down and write down everything you can think about in that topic of procrastination or productivity. What are some things that you want to be absolutely sure that you cover? I actually do this. Pretend that your very best friend or your very best client or maybe even your daughter or your son or your spouse is sitting across the table from you and saying, I need you, Jim, to tell me everything you know about marketing. You know, this one conversation is all I'm going to get out of you. Tell me everything I need to know in order to be successful in my business with marketing. So what you do is you start, well, of course, I need to tell them about, you know, branding and this and that and all the, you know, I don't remember all the details in all your books, but you see what I'm saying. It's these are the big topics, which those big topics, by the way, end up becoming chapters. But then you take one individual item and then you do the exact same thing. Okay, so now I'm just going to talk to you about branding. What's everything I can possibly think about in terms of what I could teach you on branding and get it down, jot it down. This is what I call the brain dump because this is not what your book is going to end up as. This is just getting it out of your head and onto paper. Once you've done that, whether you write it, whether you record yourself on a you know, an audio recorder and then get it transcribed, once you get all of that in writing, then it's so much easier to move things around, to add stories, to, you know, make it exactly the way you want. But the most difficult thing for anybody is to sit down and be like, in the beginning, there was, you know, chapter one. No. Start with the big picture, you know. It's just really hard that way. And so if we want to do this quickly and easily, that's a really good way to do it.
That is a good way. What about some of the other things that you want to include in your book, especially if it's a book that's going to help promote your business? You know, I think some
great
people call
them
the back pages and things like that.
Right. So absolutely, you know, for any business owner, when you're writing your book, you have to think this is your business card, right? So the goal, if the goal, let's just back up, first figure out what's the goal of the book for you? Why do you want to have a book? If it's to get more, say, consulting clients, then the goal of the book is really to talk more about the why, not so much the how, right? You know, the how may be what they have to, you know, hire you for as a consultant. But the goal of the book should teach them, you know, what they need to know. Give them some of the good meat and the things that they absolutely need to know in whatever that topic is. But you also want to redirect them back to you. We've all seen really good marketers in their books put at the end of every chapter or at the end of some of the chapters, you know, for a free download of, you know, the concepts we just covered here or for a free template on blah, blah, blah. Go to this website, and what they're doing is they're trying to redirect people back to their list. Always be marketing, as our friend James Malinchek would say, and always be thinking of the end in mind. And so if you want to get more consulting clients, you want to use that book as a way to sell them on the fact that they need to do something about this and that you're that natural choice to help them do it.
I love that. So Michelle, in our closing minutes here, what other tips, sneaky little strategies are you gonna bring to San Diego to help folks kind of get off the dime, so to speak?
Well, there's so many ways to start leveraging author status long before the book is done, and a lot of people think that they have to wait till it's launched or wait till it's bestseller to really leverage this. And quite honestly, one of the things I'm going to teach is how do you start doing it immediately? I mean, long before it's done. How do you start pre-selling the book? How do you get other people to pay for the book, you know, so that you don't have to? There are so many different opportunities. The biggest thing, though, is figuring out why do you want to write a book? If you are a speaker or a business owner that wants to speak more, well, then your book is back of the room sale. If you want to write a book to have it in Barnes & Noble because you want people to come in and find you there, that's a different strategy. If you want to just hand it to your friends and family and give it out as Christmas gifts, that's a different strategy. So come into this knowing why you want to write it, what do you really want to get out of it, and then it'll be a lot easier when you're writing it to know what kind of book. But it's so, so important. It's not just about writing the book. Just because you have it written, you have to incorporate all of the marketing strategies that you teach, Jim, and really getting it out there, or it will do no good for anyone, especially the people that need to hear what you have to say.
Michelle, how do you feel about books where people either talk out the book or type it out? I basically typed all my books. It's one of the reasons they take me a while because I'm a crappy typist. I'm actually thinking of this latest book, which I'm giving myself a very short time frame to get it done. I'm thinking of using like either Dragon Naturally Speaking or something like that. Do you do that? Have you worked with people to do that?
Yes. Okay, here's what I would recommend. If you are a better talker than writer, then don't fight it. Don't try to sit and type or write if it's not flowing that way. If you're most creative when you're speaking, which I kind of am, then all you have to do is get a voice recorder, something simple. It could even be on your iPhone, but record yourself speaking it and then send it to a transcriber. You know, there are a lot of great programs. Dragon is one of them. I wouldn't recommend the free version because a lot of those voice automation softwares don't catch every word, and then you end up cleaning up more than you do benefiting from it. What I would do is hire a good transcriber who has done transcriptions for books. And the reason that's okay. important is you don't want somebody to just transcribe every word, every and ah and da da da, which many of those transcription services and softwares, that's how they do it. You want somebody who can take what you wrote, what you said, and type it up in a way that makes sense in a sentence. And there, believe it or not, there's tons of freelancers out there that do this. They're not that expensive. I have several that I can, you know, recommend several. But do that first. And then once it's all typed up in a Word document, it is so much easier to finish the manuscript, to clean it up, to get people to help you with it, to proof it. The one thing no one can do for you is get it out of your head. So the sooner you do that, the better. And if speaking for you is easier, then don't fight it and do that. Hire a transcriber and get it done.
That's awesome. What a ton of information you've shared, as usual, Michelle. I'm so excited. I can't wait for you to come to San Diego and teach the folks at Dream Biz Academy. And
I just want to thank you so much
for your time today. We're going to have a great time.
I know. I love it. Well, and I get passionate and excited about it because you know the power of it. It's so exciting.
Absolutely. Hey, in the meantime, what's a good place where people can connect with you and learn more about the awesome Michelle Prince?
Well, you can go to my main website, michelleprince.com. That's Michelle with two L's, P-R-I-N-C-E. And there's plenty of information on there. Reach out. There's some downloads. Let me know what I can do.
Awesome. Thanks, Michelle. I really, really appreciate this. You're awesome.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jim.
Okay. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with best-selling author Michelle Prince. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.